We'll just pray for the sermon today. Father, we just ask your word to move us, to shake us. Your glory is in this place today, Lord, and I truly, even since we had the time of pre-prayer before anything, it was anointing was just amazing to me, God. And we thank you for that, God, because you are good. You are good, and your love endures forever, forever, forever. We are blown away, God. But I pray even as we start today that there would be that sense and that measure of faith, because all things are possible. All things are possible. Lord, let us get our opinions from you in prayer. When we are doubting, let us go to the prayer closet and pray until the doubt lifts. When we are despairing, let us go into the prayer closet and pray until it lifts. When we are pressed in on every side, let us go to the prayer closet. We love you, Lord. We love you. It's my prayer in the sanctuary that your truth will go out, Father. Your truth will go out. And you will touch and you will change us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Great anointing here today. And I just mentioned that just a great anointing here today. Even since we started praying it, the Lord just made himself known to me. And he touched me. I'm going to cover an aspect today about, if I had to put a title on it, I would put Praying Through. And I'll explain what I'm getting at here in a second. Sorry. I want you to go to Mark 14, and we're going to talk about praying through. One of the things that Jesus said when he went to the temple, and we've covered this part before, is he threw the changers out, the money changers, right? Because sacrificial things you bought, you know, and they were marking them up 1,000%. It's like let's call it the convenience store, the White Hen Pantry of yesteryear, where people went and could pay $4 for an item that usually cost $1 in another store. And he said something, and he said, you know, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. That's what they had did. They turned into marketing, and the house of God became a place for massive profit. Now, Jesus coming in there and saying that, there's twofold meaning, and I want to explain this to you. At the time that he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer, it was a temple. And the temple itself was a place of priestly service. It really wasn't where the priest necessarily went in to pray, but they went in to serve in the holy place, and they went in, only one of them once a year went into the most holy place. But there was in the holy place the altar of incense, which represented the prayers of the saints. And it gives a pattern. There's a pattern in the original tabernacle that is a pattern for the church of today, absolutely. And one of the things was you had this incense going up to God day by day by day. It was continual, actually. So when Jesus gives, I believe he gives a snapshot of what is to come. Because technically the temple, like I said, was a place of sacrifice, priestly service, Day of Atonement, the Holy of Holies, and then you have this altar of incense in there. But then also you have also the menorah, the candelabra, and that had seven stems representing God, and that oil never went out. So you had the incense rising and the constant presence of God. But the thing is, the church is birthing into this, and I believe this because I'm under the firm conviction that we pray in our lives, but the thing to pray through, and I'm going to give you examples of what I'm talking about. Busyness overtakes us. We are digital. I mean, you've got most of us staring into cell phones now. I mean, I don't know about any of yous, but you try to remember back in the simple days where, you know, you didn't have that. You had phones with cords, you know what I mean? And I remember when the first computer came out and people were just in awe. Then online came and everybody was really in awe. I remember AOL running at, I don't know, two megabytes per minute. It was just ridiculous. But we are distracted. But that's part of what I want to get into is praying through, praying through. Praying through doesn't mean I'm urging you to pray today, although if you don't pray, you won't pray through, because if you're not praying, you will not pray through. But praying through means getting on your knees and praying. And not, you know, I have a list sometimes I keep. I have a lot of things on my spirit when I pray. I can lift up stuff. I could probably go for a long time, but I have a combination when I pray. I will get quiet for a while. and the Lord will stir me, and I'll pray some things out, and it's fine. If you have a list today, I pray you're hitting it every day because you need to. But it used to be that many times Christians would meet, or even in their private prayer, and they would lift up some things to God, which is needed. It's part of prayer. But many times they would rise up from that prayer because in their mind, their prayer time was as deep as their list, which is just simply not true. Your list is great. If you have a list and you got me on it, then I want to beg you to pray every day for me. Absolutely. But I also want to know that there are times where you're going to go, you know what? I'm going to start learning to get in this prayer closet, and then there's going to be a release. I'm going to pray through. There's going to be a point where, from God, I'm going to have a sense, all right, it's finished, and you'll get up. Now, here's the thing. Praying through is really incredibly important, because how many times do you go into the prayer closet troubled, worried, fearful, think about it, depressed? How many times do you stay in the prayer closet until actually that lifted and then you came out? Well, if I was to give you the averages in my life, I could think of many times where I was troubled, especially early on, and you'd be troubled about something, or life was throwing you some loop, and somebody said, you pray, in my mind, and I did, yeah, I prayed, and that meant I went to the Lord, and I complained for a few minutes, you know what I mean, and I felt lousy, and I threw a fastball at him, and then I got up. But I realized, as I knew several praying saints later, they were talking about, did you get in there and pray it through? To where you actually felt a lifting, whether it was that the trial, the nervousness, the anxiety, or if you were in a bad mood, and did you pray through? Did you come out of that? Now, I believe that we got to learn to pray before we can pray through, but this is really critical at this point. It always has been. Now, as I got into this text, I wanted to go and talk about the story of Elijah. And if you remember his servant, how he prayed, and he said, what do you see? And suddenly a cloud, because rain's coming, and he prays. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, it's like a puff, the size of a man's hand. And Elijah goes back and he prays again, you know what I'm saying? And then it gets bigger. And then finally, when the storm comes upon, then Elijah gets up and goes. He had prayed through. There was a particular thing he was praying through, meaning God was going to bring a sign that he spoke of, but he actually didn't just prophesy the sign. He prayed it through. He prayed it in. You know, oftentimes it's interesting, we leave to God only what he can do, but sometimes we leave to God what we're supposed to do on our end. And in many people, I can tell when I pray through, many people I meet, when they're praying through, they don't pray through and they're impatient. Many times I see, you know, I'll tell people, hey, let us pray for an hour. And 20 minutes later, somebody's grabbing the scripture because this is the Bible. So obviously that's part of prayer because I'm reading my Bible. That's spiritual. And oftentimes I used to get very, very frustrated with that because I'm like, no, your mind is busy. You're getting into your Bible. Can you pray for an hour? And many times I found people that got into intellectualism in their Christianity, they could read 10 hours. They couldn't pray 10 hours. Now, God lays a verse on you when you're praying. I'm not saying that's wrong or that's bad. But that focused prayer, that ability to press through, to get an answer. Now, a lot of people go, well, Mike, Pastor Mike, the Lord doesn't always give you an answer. You're right. But sometimes he does. And you won't know the difference many times until you pray through. Okay. Now, I want to say this, and it's not a bold statement. I think it's a simple statement of faith, but do you have something sometimes bothering you, something you're trying to see done? Have you ever prayed through until there's a release in your spirit? If I am going into the prayer closet and I have anxiety or angst or whatever worry about a situation, I can pray to where God, it's like the spring snaps, it releases. If I have grief about family, I can go before the Lord and again, it releases. Many times we're complaining when we should be praying. Mm-hmm. Many times we're all up in arms and we need to get on our knees and say, I need an answer. Because mankind will come short on you. He really will. And advice is great and godly counsel is totally needed. But the ministry of prayer and the ministry of praying through and seeing breaking going on, and even in your senses when you're praying, I used to call it the lost art form in the church. I want to encourage you in that today because there are things you can pray through and you're going to be shocked at what starts occurring. And there are times where your spirit is taxed, be it any emotion, worry, fear, anger, and God actually wants to give you a release in prayer. He really does. He doesn't want you just saying, Father, I'm stressed. Father, fear is coming against me. But he wants you to pray it through. Take some time with him. Now, I understand in our world, schedule jobs and multiple things, we kind of go, where? Well, this is where the word sacrifice comes in. I want to explain something to you. There's two kinds of ways you can view prayer and your time to pray. Many times we just go, when I find time, I will do it. And then we'll find a little bit of time. But many times there's the other kind of, when I make time, I get a prayer that is somewhat sacrificial. I could have did this, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray through. Obviously, this is really critical because I believe we're in a season where you're going to see things happen. You are going to see things break. You are. But God's asking you to carry it through in prayer. He's asking you to carry it through. He's asking you to not get into tizzy, but rather to go to the prayer altar and press it through. It's as simple as that. It's not, and it's funny, it sounds easy to say, I can teach it, and I've experienced it, but the prayer closet many times needs to be the place where we take it hardcore to the Lord, and then we get a release. Otherwise, I think many times, myself included, as I was a young believer, I came out of the prayer closet unfulfilled many times. No answers, no peace. And I'm just thinking, if in my mind I'm dealing with something, I'm talking about emotionally, because we all have events in our life, guaranteed. I have some right now. You have some. Everybody has real issues. But if I'm going in there, you know, and I'm having this burden, many times too, when you get a prayer burden, God wants you to pray it through. He'll give you a release. Now, it doesn't mean you won't pray again with the same burden. But in each time, when you make that allotment where you sit with God, there are times where you'll feel it, like, I've done it, I've hit it, I'm getting up now. Now, I wanted to go to this story about Elijah praying through until that the rain came that he prophesied of. But the Lord actually jumped me to Gethsemane, where Jesus went. And we're going to read that together, Mark 14:32. We're just going to look at this for a little bit. It's interesting, sometimes when you're preaching, you know, you think of a text that, you know, he gives you a text, but he hit me with this so much so that I went, okay. Can I honestly say there are things that you're going to pray through that God's going to bring miracles? I do believe this. I've seen it. I can honestly say to you, sometimes is stuff waiting for you to get through it? Yes, it is. You know why? The Lord could do everything in His power. He can do anything He wants. But here's the beautiful thing. God wants you to carry these things in prayer. But He wants you to sometimes pray and pray till you're supposed to stop. He wants you to be a cooperative part of His workings. See, if God did everything minus us, that would be fine. He's the Lord. He can do whatever He wants. But when God has a part for me and you, it is a privilege to join Him in the very task that He is undertaking. And prayer is that one place, more so than a lot of things. But again, like I said, the church at this point, many churches in America have put prayer as a tack on. Meaning, well, you know, they say a little prayer before they do this, they'll say a little prayer before they do that. But what we don't understand, sometimes we get very religious in that prayer is a tack on. Of course we're going to pray, but do people stay in prayer? It's the same thing that I saw, and I want to just flash back for a second. Was reading Catherine Kuhlman's The Story of Her Life, Daughter of Destiny. And she talked about in meetings too, and this isn't praying, but this is ministering, and people would come forth for a miracle, for healing, for prayer language, whatever. And there was one guy that came, and he wanted to be prayed for. People got healed physically that night. Miracles. I mean, miracles, doctor verified. But this one guy comes forth, and he says, I want a prayer language. And she prays with him, nothing happens. And, you know, a lot of times we fit stuff into a service. You know, I'm going to lay hands on you right now. If it works out that God touches you in that little prayer line, that's a good thing. But Catherine's doing this meeting, and literally the Spirit of God really spoke to her and said, tell the man to wait. Tell him to wait. Well, it was 11 o'clock at night. The meeting was already really, really long. Many miracle services tend to drift a long time. And she asked him to wait, and he said he would. And she said, you know, you wait. Wait until it happens. I'm not kidding you, it was 11, then it was 2 in the morning, it was 3 in the morning, it was 4, it was 5. The guy was getting slightly discouraged, but she said, I just know from the Lord, and it was to wait on the Lord. Then here comes, I think it was, I don't know if it was 6:45 or when, and the Spirit of God fell on this guy. But here's the deal, everybody had left, Catherine was there alone, and tarried with the guy in prayer till the morning hours. Now, that's not a formula. Like, if you want this or you want that, and if you pray all night till 6 o'clock in the morning, God will rain it. But it's a point of pressing in. And even then, she said, as a minister, I realize there are times where God's Spirit doesn't fit into our service. It doesn't, you know, do that. Now, praise God that the woman of God, and obviously in those days, Catherine Kuhlman was real small potatoes. She was doing little Pentecostal meetings. She wasn't filling the Colosseum like she would later. But it's interesting in that ability but also it does connect. They did pray through. He was at the altar all night crying out to God. And then when the meeting got over, and obviously you get about 1 o'clock, everybody's gone. And it might have been one of her co-ministers and her. And they go over and just pray the night through with the guy. That's praying through. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting? They could have got up at 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6:05, and left, and no one was changed. But there was an ability to pray through. Now, this is a radical idea in our world of impatience and schedules and inconvenience. And there's many things we don't like about this idea. There's many things we don't like. Or sometimes many things, it's not even that we don't like them, but it's hard to bear them. But I remember reading this and it really blew me away because I thought, when she talked to you and then she said, I realized that there was such a need to wait, to pray through. And it showed her something that was exquisite because, her meetings, people would get healed very commonly. And she would go back in these college, this is when she was doing audiences of 10,000. And they said she just would worship in back of the state. She would actually be behind before she came out. And she would just wait. And somebody finally said, Catherine, the meeting's going. I mean, they're here, the worship singers are singing. You got to come on at the crescendo of the worship song. And she said, I'm waiting. They said, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting until God moves. And she told her people, I can't step out until he does. Hallelujah. Now the testimonies about what the woman did is amazing. But there she was praying through. Nowadays we got a schedule, we kind of do it. The guy comes out, he does miracles. And sometimes even false stuff comes up because of the way we've pressed it in. I always worry when a healer puts himself on, 11 to 12 on every day of the week, because then you're supposed to produce. Because if you're a healer and we film you and no healings happen, well, your ratings will go down quick. In fact, sometimes we've designed schedules the way we've designed them lead to corruption, lead to falsifying things. But there's this beautiful thing of praying through. And I asked, it's interesting. You realize with praying through sometimes too, God tempers in your spirit how badly you want something. Oh, I've had plenty of things that hurt me, bother me, that cause me distress that I can pray about. But sometimes the depth of the desire I have to really see those things change isn't that much. Do you realize something can grieve you and bother you? But do you also realize that you may have a desire that God wants to increase to see the change? And he will bring it. But none of that's a bad thing, and I think we all go through that as Christians. But let's read 14:32 in Mark, and we'll just read this. And it's really critical, and I want to encourage you in that because, like I said, we are on a learning curve here. It says in NASB, Mark 14:32, they came to the place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. This is the burden part of the prayer. Well, obviously Jesus is about to face something that me or you will never. I can only imagine what his spirit was picking up. The devil was coming. The darkness was coming. The pain was coming. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Now at this point, I call it the first prayer of Jesus in the garden. He cries out, the pain is coming. He said he's to the point of death. The grief upon Jesus is overbearing. And yet he prays the prayer that all sons and daughters must pray. If you could take this, but not as I will, but as you will, Father. And this is praying through. He's readying himself. And how's he doing it? He didn't go to have a party. He's praying. He's facing something that is critical and crucial. Now what he's going to do, none of us could do, because he's the only begotten Son of God. He has been with the Father eternally. And he's about to do something, you know what I mean? But he does that. And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? He said, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then he goes back, and again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So it's interesting. He goes back and he prays some more. He comes back and they couldn't watch again. So there's two times that the disciples, they're falling asleep on him. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be taken to jail. They didn't. I don't believe they totally understood this, because it's obvious they didn't. And he wants them to join him in prayer at a distance. He's going to go have an intimate talk with the Father, but he wants them talking to the Father. So two times he's praying through, they're not. Now listen, there's a dichotomy here, because it is true that you could sleep when you should be praying. It is true you may have the best intentions, and Jesus says to you, pray for, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? In fact, there was a whole prayer ministry birthed out of those very words. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? But then he says it is enough. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Now, the Garden of Gethsemane, you got to understand something. You know how dark that would have been, a night without a torch? Pitch black. There's no electric lights. Jerusalem is you're not getting anything. But Jesus is about to face the heaviest thing. He asked them to join him. We count these times that he goes to prayer, he comes back, he goes to prayer, he comes back. Then finally he said, it is finished. Because God, he spent time with the Father that needed to be. He was about to face something. And it's interesting when he says, get up, let us be going, he came the third time, the hour has come. Now he's prayed up, he's rested up, he's prayed through, now he can face what he's about to face. But again, this is interesting, because your life, you're going to face and deal with many things. And I think where the enemy tries to get us, the enemy doesn't want you prayed up. Like I said, many Christians pray, but not all Christians are prayerful. Think about this for a minute. And God has often taken us from the transition of being Christians that pray to being prayerful people. There is a difference. Most Christians can pray, do pray, but many of us are not prayerful. And this is a change that God is bringing. And I want you to think about this for a minute, because this is really where the change comes. And when we watch and we pray, temptation is less likely to take us. When we don't watch and when we don't pray, and when we're slumbersome or lethargic in the place where we should be calling out to the Father, many things work their way in. This life is a challenge. Make no bones about it. This life is a challenge. Being in this life is a challenge. Things are coming at you. I once heard a man say, you know how much you care about an item in your life as a Christian. You can gauge it by how much you pray about it. He said, you'll know how deeply you really want that by how much you pray. Not how much you complain, not much how you complain to others, but how much you pray. And this is a weird concept, because when I first heard this thought about, if your prayer isn't moving you, it isn't moving God, I never really thought about it in that way. And in my mind, if something bothered me, the distress level I had told me how badly I wanted it to change. That's not necessarily true. You can be horribly distressed about something and have no prayer burden for it whatsoever. See, we often kind of think, and I remember I had huge trials. We all do, don't we? And I remember thinking, the amount of emotional distress I'm going through, my Lord, I deserve God to do this. My Lord, I'm so uptight. Of course he hears me. And when that concept, and really it's a scriptural concept, began to be spoken to me, that you care as much as you've prayed. I don't care if you've griped, yelled, cried, screamed. You care about it in the way that God wants you to care about it. And your depth of intensity to see my change is based on how much you pray about it. It's seen in that. There's no disguising it. This is why the devil wants you being mad when you should pray. Wants you being depressed when you should pray. Wants you being heavy and caught up into something emotionally when you want to pray. This is really the work of the devil. He loves this stuff. And many times we are quick to martyr ourselves. I was like, whoa, it's me and my troubles. Whoa, mine are unique. And the whole problem was, Mike, you don't have a prayer burden. You have a complaint burden. You have a whine burden. You have a depression burden. You don't have a prayer burden. And you're equating those, that means you're fervent, and you're not fervent. You're fervent in those things. That's not good. Mm-hmm. Luke 22:41, another view of this prayer. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And then 43 in Luke, the verse 43 says, now an angel appeared from heaven, appeared to him, strengthening him. The interaction in heaven when people pray, because we're mortal, you don't see the other realm. Sometimes you sense the other realm. Sometimes you sense the presence of God. But, you know, you look at the angel ministering. An angel appears strengthening Jesus. Now, I'd have loved to be a part of that prayer. And I would have loved that to be in Luke, actually. What did he say? What did he do? See, this is the thing. When you begin to pray, there is an absolute direct line. There is a direct door between you and heaven. In fact, many of us are irreverent in prayer because we don't understand technically what's going on because we don't see it. That's why many people, prayer is a great tranquilizer. It works better than a dart gun, I'm telling you. You know, I've seen it. Eyes glaze over. In fact, I've watched people that can stay awake for anything. You hit prayer and it is, I've seen it where their eyes glaze over within 10 minutes. They're falling asleep. Now, I could see the same person sit, myself included, for hours doing something mindless or idle the minute it comes to that. Because a lot of times what you're seeing there, and we've all had to deal with it in our own lives, is it kind of manifests where you're at with prayer. But there's an interaction with heaven that you don't even understand. Do you understand that there are times, because it says the angels are ministering spirits sent to the heirs of salvation. They're aiding all the time. Do you understand sometimes when you've prayed for a lift that God sent one of his messengers that is there to help you, to strengthen you? That's the other thing. Jesus is going through this stuff and he's praying this stuff, and here's an angel all of a sudden appears. And verse 44, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And again, it's so interesting because that is a prayer to the core of his being. The intensity he's praying with bursts the microvessels by the surface of the skin, which will actually taint. It's not a horrible bleeding, but the sweat will come out. But not to mention the sweat. The fact that he's sweating, his whole body is engaged. Now, I'm not telling you today, I'm praying that you can go out of here and learn how to sweat blood, but I am telling you, as a saint of God, that God will take you into the depth of prayer and praying through and burden in prayer so much that it could break a sweat in your body because you're so engaged. That's an amazing thing. See, part of the problem is we read some of this stuff and we often go, well, that's Jesus and Jesus did this. But the thing is, I got older and was reading the scripture, I realized that Jesus came as a man to pay for my sins, but he also came as he's the firstborn among many brethren. So after he rises and the Spirit falls, we become sons of God, daughters of God. So many times he's showing stuff it's an exemplary. It is an example. He's saying, listen, look how I did this because I wore flesh. I walked in this earth. I dealt with the devil here. He set the example. And it's funny because he pressed through. And there are things, I'm telling you, that many times the Lord will bring things up to you and he's wanting you to pray through. And he wants to actually lift the pain or the burden or the sadness. He wants to lift the fear. He wants to lift the temptation. He wants to change, guys. He wants to change. Your prayer becomes a place of answers. And here's what I mean. Not every prayer I pray get answers and somebody calls and said, hey, Mike, you know what just happened? But there's more changes than just the thing I'm praying for. There's changes in me. Do you understand the enemy's major tool is your emotions? Did you know that? Mm-hmm. The weapons of the devil is soulish. It's emotions. In fact, many times when people express how they feel and they're having a hard time, I'm like, that's the enemy's realm. And that's why sometimes we don't say it's bad to feel when God gives feelings. I'm not telling you don't feel anything, but I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy, 99% of what he does is psychological and emotional. Yes, he does things in the real realm, in real time, in the physicality, in this universe. But the reality, when I see that, it's like, wow. Now, I think of a story I've told before about praying through. I had a friend that needed an answer. I don't even know if he needed an answer, but we prayed. No, I don't know what he needed, but we wanted to pray together. And I had a room in this farmhouse where the padding was literally like this thick. You could actually like drop, free drop, and you'd bounce off the floor. It was like a closet, and then I made it a prayer closet. I thought, you could kneel on this stuff, and your feet, I mean, there was like weird padding under the carpet. It was crazy. So I took him up there, and we began to pray. And within about 20 minutes, something said, I want to speak to you, but something said, and it was the Lord, said, keep praying. Keep praying. Don't stop until I tell you to stop. Went into an hour, and I'm kind of going, okay, I'm waiting, you know. And I'm not really, like, patient, but I've got somebody with me, because sometimes when you're praying through with someone else, you're going, they're probably not wanting to do this. It plays on your mind. So I'm sitting there, and then about an hour and a half later, then I know the person's kind of looking up once in a while, like, you know, he knows we're waiting through, but, you know, and he's a guy that actually could pray through, too, but we're praying, then 2 hours hits, and, you know, you're going, and the Lord's strong on me. You're not done. Don't get up. You're not done. Pray through. So I'm like, I'm doing it. Then we hit 3 hours. And then at that point, you know, you got 1,000 doubts. Oh, this, he's probably just got to go. Or this guy wants to, you know, this is 3 hours. And I'll never forget it because I looked at my watch. 3 hours and 29 minutes. And the Lord began speaking to me. And he said, when he goes home, and his drive was about 285 miles, when he goes home and he gets off at the exit, there's a couple that he's been mentoring, discipling in Christ. They're going to meet him at the Exxon, I forgot which gas station it was. He's going to pull up, and when he pulls up, they're going to be gassing up when he pulls up. And they're going to tell him that they're in love and that they're for each other. But you're going to tell them they just got done fornicating and that the basis for what they're saying is love is a bunch of lust. It's not God. And I told him. And I said, we're done now. It was three and a half hours in. And so he drives home, 287 miles, I think. And I get this phone call. You will not believe this. I got off. I needed gas. I pulled over at the gas station. And you know who was gassing up? And I said, I know who was gassing up. And they came up and they said, we are in love. And we're going to get married. And I looked at him and I said, there's a prophet in Chicago that said you guys have been fornicating and that your whole bonds that have been made are totally wicked right now. And he says to tell you, you need to repent. Stop it. This is praying through. Now, I got to be honest with you. What we do as religious people, we'll hear something like this, we'll make the new 3.5 hour rule. And if you pray 3.5 hours, God will speak at the 3 hours and 29 minutes. That's not what I'm saying at all. The issue wasn't the amount of time. The issue was praying through until it was time to get up. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. But there we were. And it was a beautiful thing because they actually, these people were, they got wrapped up into some really bad stuff and it would have absolutely been a disaster. But there was God sending a word from 287 miles away. And do you understand the timing of pulling up at the gas station? Is that the edge of town actually isn't the one they would be going to? Well, I mean, you almost want to buy a lotto ticket when that happens. You know, what do you think about the lotto this weekend? You know, but there it is. There's the word of the Lord to somebody that really needed it. But at that point, too, in my life, I was pressing through a lot more. Because we even lose the belief that we should. Now, I'm going to say something. You're going to work, and you've got to be there at a certain time. Don't tell your boss you were 45 minutes late because you prayed through. Get to work. Be on time. But I want to say this. The attitude is more important in ourselves. Just to have a thought when we get into some prayer, we kind of go, Father. Many times we are praying prayers on the fly, prayers on the run. I get that. But I will say this. The person that can pray through is the best person to pray on the fly. You remember when Artaxerxes is talking to Nehemiah and he asks him why his face is sad, which could be punishable by death, and it says, I pray the God of heaven. You'll find that people that are prayerful people and people can pray through, when they do have to pray on the fly, they do it so well because they're in the groove, they're in there. I think not praying through hurts us a lot because, again, there's information that we don't have. And many times we do need a touch. In fact, I want to ask you something. What do you do when you feel oppression, even demonic, or emotional, or both? When you go to the Lord to cry out, it just everything feels off. And we get smart enough to know ourselves when we feel that thing. It's usually the preclusion to what's about to come. None of us in this room, I think, are in the dark of certain emotional ways we cope, things, ways we feel. But many times we'll hit that. Do we pray to have God lift that? No, many times we don't pray at all. We watch TV. Worse yet, we get on the internet. Whatever. We do whatever we do. God wants to change that. He wants to change that. You know, I've worked with many ministers that don't believe in praying through, that don't even seek God. In fact, most of the stuff they're doing is Christian in its nature. but God never spoke to them at all to do three-fourths of what they're doing. It's funny how religious activity often feels valid as long as it's got Jesus in it, a Bible verse or something. But God is looking for sons and daughters that will pray through, that will hear, that will listen. You don't have to be a prophet to hear the voice of God. You're his kids. That is sufficient. Well, the last example I want to use of praying through, I read a book early on, and it said, the guy said this. He said, guys, did you ever have those bad days, you know, everything at work went wrong that could go wrong, you know, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, you hit your head when you went to the bathroom on the door frame, it was dark, everything goes wrong, you go to work and it's no better, and the day is just a drip, drip, drip of aggravation, and you get home and, you know, you want to kick your dog and you want to lash out at your wife, what she made for dinner. He said, I'm going to give you a tip. When you get worked up like that, and this is dynamic, yet it's so forgotten. He said, you need to tell your wife, honey, I'm not in the right state of spirit. I'm going to go into the room over there and pray until I'm a better man. You know, it's interesting. I tried it. It worked. But here's the other interesting thing. Because of the way we schedule, because of the way things happen, we will even do that and it'll work. And I would go in there because you'd be wound up like a spring, ready to burst, needing a release, meaning you can't walk around like that. And I just remember that, just going to the bedroom and just a horrible sense of oppression, frustration, and God actually changed it. And then it worked two ways too. If you saw your mate was having a bad day, go pray for her and see if that lifts from her. Again, we're showing many times how much we care God's way by how much we pray things through. The point today is almost done here, but I remember reading that and I thought, how many will do that? And now in this age, time is of the essence. People, we don't break. We're so busy-minded. It's not even just our schedules. We have a hard time sitting still anymore. We really do. I do believe God's bringing this back to where his people will once again be. They will know how to pray through something. And then sometimes God wants to give you an answer. And sometimes God wants to not only give you an answer in your spirit, that he'll switch a situation that you've been praying through. There's a beautiful thing to understand how this works. I wrote just a short list of things that work against that. Unbelief. People will often say, I know this situation, and why pray? Seriously, I've heard this before. I've dealt with this for years. I know this. But the problem is, when I have a problem, and I've dealt with it for years, all this I know is the problem. I mean, seriously, I deal with things all the time. I've not yet seen it turn to a miracle. So I may know the problem really well, but the other side of that, which is called God's miracle, I might not know worth a darn. There's a difference, guys, a huge difference. Impatience as a whole can hurt us. I've always said this, and I'm just as good at this as anybody. TV, you can watch TV for 5 hours and not pray for 5 minutes. Easy to do. You can. It's easy to do. I've seen it. But remember something too, part of what I'm telling you is a discipline, and what I mean by that is, it's a discipline you learn. Learning to pray through is, there are supernatural happenings, but when you first sit down to become a person of prayer, I don't believe you will be naturally patient in waiting on the Lord. I believe in ourselves we're not patient like that. I think there are people that seem to do better with it than others from a natural standpoint, but the fact of the matter is these are disciplines. Christian disciplines are stuff you apply yourself to. But the reality too is, do you believe it? I mean, this guides everything, doesn't it? Do you believe it? See, a preacher can preach a sermon, it can give you Bible verses and show you different examples of whatever he's talking about, but whether I fuse that in faith and say, I believe I need that, I believe that's God, I believe that's true, it has a huge bearing on it. You know, oftentimes I've talked to Christians that were veterans, they've been around for years, and they would have certain kinds of problems, and I've counseled with a lot of men of God, and I would find something out, though. Oftentimes, I would find out that area, they had an unbelief in that area, where they needed to do this, but they actually, their faith had been messed with at that area. They weren't even sure that was even of God. They weren't even sure that would even work. Listen, if you don't think something's going to work, trust me, you're not going to invest time in it. Trust me. Even when I told that story of the 3.5 hours, it was based on the fact that I knew God sometimes had me wait. I knew that sometimes I had to pray through, press through. I knew that. And I knew, because that, also as this stuff happens, you grow in it and you grow in your faith because you come to understand that. And as these things come about, you start going, this works, this is real, this is God. And then that, even that belief motivates you to step into that, whatever it is. I'll tell you something. If you attempt to pray through in different situations, and I'm not saying every situation we pray through, but I'm telling you, God has desires to speak to you in areas, and he wants you to deal. There are times where your emotions are hit horribly, where you actually need God's input. But I will tell you this, and I've experienced it more than I can count, where God lifts that thing. See, everything that comes against praying through seeks to paralyze you. Fear? What does fear do? Fear paralyzes you. You can't move. I mean, you can move physically, you can go around, but fear stops you from praying through because you're nervous. Anxiety does that. Depression can do that. There's all kinds of things that are going to battle you, but that's the point. And even the term praying through, getting to the other side of what that is really critical. But like I said, many believers don't even, it's horrible what happens. But there are times, God, you're going to be in a cooperation with the Father and you're going to see a miracle that you did. And you're going to pray it through. And I have never seen a time where God is inviting people to join him the way I'm seeing it right now. And one last comment, and I've noticed this too, is you begin to pray many times. Sometimes the presence of the Lord, you'll start sensing God's presence. And there's a beautiful thing, you know, I always call it the heaven's timing. And you, sometimes you enter in, and all of a sudden you're not impatient to pray, and you're starting to press in. And it's like you'll lose large amounts of time. I've did that to where I was praying, and it seemed like a minute, and it was 2 hours. Now, when I first started, though, I'll never forget, I used to take my little alarm clock and set it for 5 minutes. And I plug it in behind the couch and set it on the couch and bow down. And I looked 1,000 times in 5 minutes. It seems irregular, doesn't it? But I did. That's what I was. That's my impatience. But it's interesting. That broke big time. And that was no longer the case. Big time. I always looked at it, if I can be changed, anybody can be changed. Absolutely. So let's all rise and close in prayer today. I pray this blesses the hearer, I do. Because there are many secrets God wants to share with you, and there are releases and relief God wants to bring you. There are pains and emotional pains that God wants to give you strength in. And there are times where you're pressing in and you don't even know that an angel has come to strengthen you. That there is a divine activity. When you pray, that door is open between you and heaven, and there is a connection that is strong. Lord, as we go today, Lord, I've been a Christian that prayed but wasn't prayerful. Boy, do I know the difference. And Lord, I am so familiar with impatience. I am so familiar with emotional stress taking a toll and interfering with praying through. I've seen it. But we are in a time where that prayer closet is going to become more crucial in we believers in this country. It's changing. It's changing. I pray even now today as we dismiss from here, Lord, we are all busy. We all have schedules. We all have things to do, and I understand that. But sometimes the sacrificial prayer is the best one. Sometimes when I make time that I don't have, it's a great honor to you. So I pray today as we dismiss today, I pray, Lord, that we would better understand. Lord, I don't ever want to be a believer that is involved in ministry so deep, so many things, and truly that I don't have a clue what God actually wants me to do. Lord, I see this all the time. I see this all the time. I see men and women of God, we get so wrapped up in things we can do, and we should have asked, should we? And then we many times are missing the things that you actually want us busy with. Our time is not our own, Lord. Help us to pray through. Help us to pray through. Lord, I know as a fact, I can even sense it in my spirit. I mean, we've all got issues. Every believer does in this sanctuary. Every believer in any sanctuary, there's things that you want to do miracles, but we're going to have to pray them through. Lord, continue to develop us into the sons of God, sons and daughters that we are. Continue to develop us. And I thank you, God. This is what we need. Many answers will come if we will bow. Many clarities will hit us. Our eyes will be open. And I pray in the name of Jesus as we dismiss from here today, you would relieve. You would bring shalom, peace to the hearts. You would bring hope. Lord, there has been a spirit of hopelessness in situations that will come. and so seek to devour the hope that is left in the heart of the believer. Last thing I pray, Lord, when we start neglecting our time with you, it's interesting, it's always the same problem. When we start doing that, it's always the same problem. We start getting hit with stuff and things get confusing. Let us be piped in today. And lift, Father, in the name of Jesus, lift. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless everyone.